You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
That's probably slightly off topic. What was the question again?
The Wire.
A recent report from the Auditor General found that more than half of people leaving prison have an unmet housing need. I spoke with Dr. Alice Mills, Associate Professor of Criminology at the University of Auckland, about why housing is central to reintegration and what gaps exist in the current system.
You've said there's no rehabilitation without homes to go to in regards to the prison system and people who have left with the unmet housing need. What did you mean by that?
I think the main thing to bear in mind is that housing, stable housing in particular, is absolutely essential for effective reintegration into the community. So it's often been described as the linchpin, for example, of reintegration. Without stable housing, it's extremely hard to establish other parts of life, particularly something like getting a job, for example, but also reuniting with whānau and family as well, or just generally establishing yourself, a life again for yourself back in the community.
Now, the Auditor General's report found that more than half of people leaving prison have an unmet housing need. How serious is that figure?
It's a really interesting figure because I think part of the problem is no one really knows where that figure has actually come from.
What does an unmet housing need actually look like for someone leaving prison?
I think that's a really good question, and part of the problem is that we don't even really know what that term means. So it may mean, for example, somebody leaving prison with literally nowhere to go, so they may end up sleeping on the streets or in some kind of incredibly temporary sort of situation. It may mean that they have some kind of temporary accommodation, perhaps with friends, family or something like that, but it's not actually a stable situation. It's somewhere where they can sleep maybe for a few nights, maybe for a week, maybe a little bit longer, but it's not a permanent home per se.
So how does housing connect to things like finding work, reconnecting with whānau, or accessing healthcare?
So one of the things that we found through our research, particularly interviews with people who have experienced imprisonment, is that it can be really hard for them to find a job and to maintain a job if they don't have anywhere to live. And one of the things with that is that, as well as potentially needing an address to obtain a job in the first place, they also need somewhere to actually relax, to be able to kind of basically recharge themselves in order to keep going with the job, in order to kind of maintain a stable routine. The other thing is, in terms of healthcare, often healthcare requires that you have an address. So that it's clear what healthcare provider you can actually access. And again, that's likely to be very difficult if you don't have an address. And in terms of reuniting with whānau or with family, again, it's often about having a space to be able to do that, particularly if we're talking about people who are coming out of prison and want to reunite with their children.
And in your article with the newsroom, the Department of Corrections has said it does not know and it does not need to know how many people leave prison without a place to live. What's your response to that?
I think that they do need to know, actually, how many people leave prison without a place to live. Otherwise, then we don't really know what is behind the figure of an unmet housing need. But also, it's really important to have that data in order to be able to plan effective services. So I would argue that it is really important that they do need to know.
What does it say about the system if that information isn't being collected?
I think one of the things we need to bear in mind is that, and this is pointed out in the Office for the Auditor General's report, is that actually corrections do know about some parts of the prison population, but not about others. So it generally does know where people who are on longer sentences that have to apply for parole are likely to be going to, not least of which because they're usually subject to some kind of post-release supervision as well. What is less known about is those that leave prison on remand or after a short sentence. So what it actually tells us is where that focus is. The problem is that people on short sentences still reoffend and actually reoffend at a higher rate than those on long sentences. So it's still really important for us to consider whether they have somewhere to live after release.
What kind of supports should be put in place to counteract these unmet housing needs?
I think there's a variety of different things that could be put in place in relation to this. And I know that the Salvation Army have recently released a briefing around accommodation that also contains some excellent ideas. One of the things that we really could be looking at, particularly in relation to remand prisoners and short sentence prisoners, is actually about trying to save any accommodation when they come into prison. So other jurisdictions, for example, will make available a certain amount of of benefits in order to pay rent or mortgages if somebody is in prison for just a short time, either on remand or sentence, to ensure that they don't lose their housing. So we could be thinking about notions of prevention to start off with. The other thing that we mentioned in the article, and I know the Salvation Army have mentioned something similar, is about the idea of having somebody, a kind of accommodation coordinator or a housing broker in the prison that may not necessarily be from corrections, might be from MSD, might be from a non-governmental organisation, could be from potentially EWE-based organisations as well, that are actually focused on securing suitable accommodation on release. And we also need to bear in mind that that accommodation doesn't need to just be stable, but also needs to be culturally appropriate as well, particularly for the Māori who are overrepresented in prisons.
Do we need more transitional housing specifically for people leaving prison?
I think that's a difficult question because transitional housing, it depends what transitional housing actually entails. At the moment, corrections funds a certain amount of supported accommodation, which is essentially transitional housing, where people can stay usually somewhere between 3 to 6 months. Whilst that can be very useful, it's generally only there for those that are deemed to be high risk and high need, and that's generally those serving over 2 years. And the issue is that people in that housing don't always have options of where to go afterwards. So whilst on the one hand it would be helpful to have more transitional housing for some of the groups that are not already covered under that, we also need to think about what happens when someone needs to move on from transitional housing.
So what role should Māori-led or community-led services play in integration?
I think one of the main things to bear in mind, particularly in relation to housing, is that for the most part it is Māori-led and community-led services that do play a role in terms of providing supportive accommodation or transitional accommodation and housing support. So they are the providers, although they're often funded by corrections. And I think one of the things we need to bear in mind is that, in particular, there is a need for accommodation that is by Māori for Māori, basically accommodates the needs of Māori and that is whānau-focused and basically provides culturally appropriate services. We do need to bear in mind that Māori are overrepresented in the prison population. They're therefore substantially overrepresented in the people that are released from prison. So it's really crucial that those services are appropriate for them.
There is often public concern about crime and community safety. How should we understand housing as part of that kind of conversation?
What our research found is that those living in unstable housing 6 months after prison were 4.6 times more likely to be re-imprisoned. So if we're actually serious about community safety and reducing reoffending, housing plays a really essential role. And as I said before, it's largely because housing is so crucial to reintegration and so crucial to establishing various other parts of life after release.
Is this ultimately a housing issue, a justice issue, or both?
It's definitely both. There's no doubt about that.
And finally, what's one thing you want people to understand about housing and rehabilitation?
I think one of the things that I want people to understand is what I've already said, to be perfectly honest, is that housing is really essential. If we are going to reduce reoffending after prison, we cannot do that without appropriate, safe and stable housing.
That was Dr. Alice Mills on why secure housing is central to reintegration for those leaving prison.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.